Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. The Mirror reports Harry's book deal is actually for four books, with one of the books being held until after the Queen's death. Per the Mirror, following something of a bidding war among the publishing houses, the final figure is understood to have reached up to £29 million, after a reported starting point of £18 million set by Harry himself. And Meghan Markle is set to write a wellness guide as part of the contract, and he will write a second, while little is known about the final title or who will write it. A publishing insider told the Daily Mail the prince's negotiating style was of the take-it-or-leave-it variety. Those involved were actually very shocked by his approach, which was to look at them coldly and state his demands. $25 million, they explained. The source said the most shocking part of the deal is that Harry will wait to pen his second book until after his grandmother has died. People will start asking, naturally, what has he got? What is he going to target? They said, adding it appeared in very bad taste. Princess Eugenie has reportedly been left stunned by the Duke's book deal, having reportedly been the only member of the royal family to have maintained a close relationship with both Harry and Meghan. A source said, what's really telling is even the relatives he remains closest to, like Princess Eugenie and Beatrice, are stunned by what he's up to. Let's be honest, Harry has never been close to the Duchess of Cornwall. If he documents their fraught relationship in the book, it could be very damaging at a time when Charles is laying the groundwork for her to become queen. Royal author Robert Jobson, who has been critical of the book deal, added, I think he seems slightly detached from the things he does because when he talks about the Queen, he talks of great fondness and talks of great respect for her and all of those things. But almost with a day, something comes out like his latest project that he's been working on for many, many months with this ghostwriter in America. So he obviously knows what he's been up to, and it's almost like he has been playing a game with the royals. I think it's going to have a massive impact on the royal family. Harry does not give a damn about the feelings of his grandmother or his brother or his father. Meanwhile, a friend of Eugenie's told the Mail on Sunday, they believe Harry's outspoken remarks may have been triggered because previously his voice and opinions were rarely heard within the royal family. I wouldn't presume to give advice to Harry and Meghan, except to say to be happy, Eugenie said recently, adding that she thought it wonderful that Meghan had written a children's book, having also written one herself. Palace Intrigue will be right back. The Queen is being described as incredibly tired. A source told The Sun, she could not wait to get away. She is still grieving very deeply and wanted to head to Balmoral to escape from things. She is also incredibly tired. The announcement of Harry's book and the new claims that he could release four books are the last things she needed. It's only just over 3 months since Philip was buried, so the book announcement is incredibly insensitive and seems another two fingers to the monarchy. Well, it's not like things could get any worse, or could it? The Daily Beast shares that a six-year campaign to get access to the most potentially explosive diaries kept by a royal family insider has ended in triumph for the historian who spent his life savings pursuing it. The diaries are those left by Lord Louis Dicky Mountbatten, who was a major influence in the court of Elizabeth II, first as a matchmaker in the marriage of the future Queen and Prince Philip, then as an advisor on how the heir to the throne, Prince Charles, should be raised and educated. There are 47 diaries beginning in the 1920s and ending in 1968. Mountbatten biographer Andrew Lowney and other historians who are keen to see the diaries expect them to cast intimate new light on one of the most troubling skeletons in the royal cupboard, the royal family's role in efforts to make a peace deal with Hitler during 4 years before Britain and Germany went to war in 1939, and more crucially well into 1940, during which Winston Churchill's position as Prime Minister was precarious. The diaries are a crucial new source for 20th century political, and Lowney's priority, now that the diaries are accessible, is to see how closely Mountbatten followed the highly active back-channel contacts between emissaries from Nazi Germany and the royal family in extensive negotiations to avoid war with Hitler. One of the key backers of Lowney's campaign is Corinna Urbach, a German historian based at Princeton, who is a leading authority on these interactions. In her 2015 book, Go-Betweeners for Hitler, the German scholar drew on European sources to show the importance of royal blood relatives who worked in secret as negotiations for Hitler. She shows how persuasive they were in converting members of the British royal family to the belief that Hitler was a reasonable leader who simply needed to be better understood. For years, two Windsor princes, the Duke of Kent and the exiled Edward, the Duke of Windsor, were highly active agents of Hitler's belief that there was no need for Britain and Germany to go to war. It was often put in simplistic binary terms, as a choice between communism and fascism, in which fascism was the least threatening to them. And there you have it. Please follow us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue and good times.